Good morning. I don't know. Good morning. You can all hear me, I know. First of all, I want to say a good morning from us. You may not know us. Some of you do and some of you don't. But we are the gang from Banwell Community Church. We're here as replacements this morning, and we've got Susan on the piano, and her husband Tom is back here hiding. He's brought his trumpet. That's to make sure you're all awake, okay, and stay that way. And I'm Wally, okay? And so I'm going to start with the announcements for today. The Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting Wednesday, June the 18th. At 7 p.m. for the study of the parables of Jesus. This week, we're looking at the parable of the net in Matthew 13, 47 to 50. There are handout sheets available on the podium for this, for this week's study. Now, Pastor James will be away for school during the next 2 weeks. Please pray for him as he travels and attends to his studies. And the guest speaker next Sunday will be Mr. David Gurley. Well, the call to worship for today is Psalm 33, verse 1, which says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him." So let's do that now. Our first hymn is "Come Thou Almighty King."
Grateful for a time like this. Thank you for your blessings over our lives. Thank you for your blessings over our church. Thank you for your blessings over Windsor. Thank you for your blessings over Canada. We're grateful for your kindness. Your mercies are new over our lives every morning. Thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you because you are shield and defense. Thank you because you have been our lives. And you continue to sustain us. Thank you because you heal us in times when we are sick. You raised us up when we were down. You continue to stand by us and walk with us through all the challenges of life. You have promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You have said if we pass through the water, you are there. And he will not drown us. When we pass through the fire, you will not allow the flames to kindle upon us. We are told and we come to understand that you are not a man that you should lie. Lord, we bow before you today. Because without you, we are nobody and we can do nothing. Thank you for the privilege to gather in fellowship with one another, to hear from you and to celebrate who you are. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father, that we can say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Thank you for this Father's Day, for the male gender. Thank you for fathers in homes, in the community, in businesses, fathers who help to raise and shape the next generation, fathers who stand for your word and give the legacy of faith and your salvation to others, fathers who stand as agents of peace, helping to make sure that every form of injustice and every form of oppression comes to an end. Fathers who stand to see the next generation educated and strengthened to face the days ahead and to take decisions that will help the entire nation and the human race. Father, we are grateful for all the earthly fathers who stand as husbands in homes, who helps with their hard work to see that the economy is strengthened. Fathers who stand as source of example sources of discipline. Fathers who stand in such a way that they stand for integrity, truth, honesty, respect, and love. We're grateful, Lord. We pray, O God, that the next generation of men, O God, will not be confused about who they are. We pray, O God, that in a world where people are getting confused about their gender and about their identity in God, help us to remember that your word clearly states, male and female created he them. He created mankind in his image and after his likeness. And that we have dominion, be fruitful, and multiply. Oh Lord, we pray for our generation that every form of confusion as to identity and as to gender will be met by your love, will be met by your compassion. That, Lord, healing will take place within the spirits of men. Deliverance will take place in the lives of those who have moved into the realm of confusion and misunderstanding. That all of us will be glad to see ourselves in the true light of who you are and who we are in you. And as we celebrate fathers all over the world today, everyone who has a connection with fathers as wives, female wives, as sons, as daughters, as friends, as family members, as kinsmen, at acquaintances, as neighbors, all of these persons will continue to be blessed by your definite intention of allowing and creating fathers to be on the earth at such a time like this. We ask, O God, that you continue to bless us. We pray for the nations of the world where there is war, where there are rumors of war, where there is oppression, where there's limitation, where there are sufferings. We pray, O God, that you intervene, O God, that mercy will come into the hearts of men so that we will not be inhumane towards one another, so that love will spread, so that we become agents of peace wherever we find ourselves. That we will be humble in our dealings. We'll be compassionate in how we relate with one another. We will be able to say we have followed you, loving you, God, with all our heart, with all our might, with all our strength, and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Lord, we pray this today, and as we ask, oh God, all over Windsor, as churches gather all over Canada, and people and worship experiences today, visit us, minister to us, bless our lives, and help us to become transformed. Touch us anew, and let everything that stands as hindrance or limitations to our joy, our blessings, be taken off by your power. And today, oh God, for every place people are calling on your name, let us all encounter you in a fresh way. Thank you, because this and much more we know you will do, because we pray today in Jesus' name, amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Acts 16, verses 25 to 36. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought him into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace."
I want to say good morning to each and every one of us today. We're grateful for Tom, Susie, and Wally. Good. I don't want to miss that out. Thank you for coming to stand in today. Today we do not have Dawn around or Janet. They are at Banwell Community Church, and they are doing the bell. One of the desires that I have about the bell, I wasn't too conversant with it until they started talking about it. Then I watched online, and I did enjoy it. But I think one of the greatest things that is plaguing the bell is that right now, it's fading away. And the reason is because we don't have young people who are taking up the challenge to enjoy and play such kind of beautiful music that is instrumental. And so I'm throwing out the challenge. If you're there, you are middle-aged, younger as a youth, please think of something like that. It's beautiful to listen to. You could go online, search, and see how it is. You know, the precision, the musicianship, and the heart that is poured into doing that. And it's not good that we have such things die. Especially for those of us who are Christians. If you have listened to the bell when it comes to some of the Christmas songs, that's when you see it most of the time used. You kind of enjoy how it goes. But it's fading away. I love fast, energetic, vibrant music. That's kind of African. You get the shakes, yes. But then, there is also the place for solemn, classical song. It helps you to kind of calm, be cool, be collected, be relaxed, and be ministered to. So that's why they're not here today, and they've gone to do that. So I hope somebody would take the challenge, or we ask the Spirit to call somebody, like some of my people will say. Amen. Okay, happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. Fathers here, potential fathers, fathers to be, fathers in waiting, fathers realizing, every father, happy Father's Day. I said happy Father's Day. The way you are frowning your faces, you need to smile. This is Father's Day. So all the mothers here and all the ladies here and all the youths here, can you help me echo that? Say happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes, we get to say hi to all the fathers. It's not easy to be a father. I hope you know that. It's not an easy task. You have to stand to be the priest of the home. You have to stand to be a provider. You have to stand in leadership. Even though nowadays some people are confused, they don't even know if they are fathers anymore. Because identity is in question. Gender is in question. But actually, the main question that is being challenged is the divinity of God. Who God is, who Christ is, if God is real. That's actually the real challenge. Because every other thing that comes outside that, it's because people do not want to subscribe that there is God who is our Heavenly Father, who created us, male and female. Now, you could think of any other thing, but for those of us who are Baptist, and I'm saying Baptists who are Baptists, amen. Because we believe in what? The final authority of the Word of God. So if God said male and female created he then, here, we believe that. Any other one, it's your opinion, it's your choice, and you are free to have your opinion. But then as a believer in Jesus, and those of us who are creationists, who are not evolutionists. For those of us who are of the CBOQ family, we'll keep saying, male and female created he then. And if that's the case, we can honestly celebrate Father's Day. And let me add to that, this is us many times as being CBOQ people, I'm talking to biological fathers. Amen. Those with X and Y chromosomes. I can say that with all sense of responsibility. Because I read microbiology in my first study before I went into theology. And my microbiology has not changed. I've not seen any other book that told me otherwise. It still says, for the male, you have X and what? Y chromosome. If there's a change in the biology textbook or a new research, please let me know. That'll be helpful. But for now, the last time I checked, that's what I saw. So I'm celebrating all those kind of fathers today. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. Good. Thank you. Today we are looking at a very wonderful story. The story of two fathers. And when I say fathers, please, I need us to also add this. You don't have to have given back to a child biologically to be a father. There are people who are just biological fathers, in quote, but they are not real fathers because they are not responsible. Fatherhood is about responsibility. Fatherhood is about love. You cannot say you are a godly father and you do not have love for your wife. You do not have love for your children. And when I say your wife, I mean your female wife. Underline that, please. Because I always want to make sure that I'm CBOQ correct in when I say my things. I love everybody, but I can't change my Bible. So the greatest love I can do is to say what I believe my Bible says. Is that okay? Amen. So, there are fathers who have adopted children. Because when you adopt children and be a father to them, you are a hero. You are helping someone who had been orphaned or rejected by another one who had the privilege of donating what makes for a child, but are not responsible enough to be in their lives, to add to their lives, to be examples to them, to be leaders to them. There are fathers who have also gone through divorce. Even though you have gone through divorce with your ex, that doesn't change the fact that you need to be a father to the children. If you have children involved, you need to be in their lives and be responsible to them. They did not cause the divorce. So please do not take it out on them. Be a man in their life because they need that. You need the father and you need the mother in the lives of children or kids to be strong and become people who can express their masculinity as well as their femininity without being horrible or without being stupid. So we need both in every household and in the community. Because if we're going to be strong people, progressive people, then we would always have fathers and we'll have mothers in the church, in the community, in the workspace. That is how God intended things to run and get better. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 36, we have the story of two fathers, Paul and Silas. These were Christian men, men who were out to do the will of God. They were out to serve God's purpose. They went out declaring God's word to people, and they showcased his power. In one of such outing, ministering, evangelizing, reaching out to lives, they got into this place and there was a young lady. This young lady had a foretelling spirit, the ability to foretell. She had a familiar spirit in her, so she could see with her spiritual eyes. What she saw was correct, but by the means with which she did the foretelling, it was wrong. She had a familiar spirit, which is a demonic spirit within her life. But then, not just that alone, she was a slave. Enslaved, and she was a property of certain people who made merchant of these ability that she has gotten from a satanic dimension. The Bible said they were making money off her because she could foretell. She was kind of revelatory. She would tell people how their lives are, what is going on. And so for that, you had to pay a consultation fee. And her owners, who were our slave masters, were able to make money because of that. So if you come for consultation, you need some foretelling, you pay some money, and then she runs your life through for you, and then you go kind of excited that somebody is telling you, you ate spaghetti yesterday, you ate pizza yesterday, you were putting on a red cloth yesterday, you had a wristwatch on yesterday, you had this nice golden jewelry on you. You say, wow. So this morning, I'll be talking about supernatural turnaround in the face of hopelessness and helplessness. Supernatural turnaround in the face of hopelessness and helplessness. But while I'm going there, I need to point our attention. Today, in North America, people still pay for fortune telling. That spirit is still at work today. People spend time and live their lives on zodiacs. You are Leo. You are Virgo or Vigo, whatever how they call it. And then somebody say, and then they tell you there, oh, I should go out this week. When you see somebody who is white, make sure you're looking straight if you don't want trouble. I should go out next week. When you see somebody who is black, make sure you turn the other way around or you fall into much danger. I'm just trying to give you examples. They say all sort of stuff. And do you know the interesting thing? A whole lot of people today still live their lives on those zodiacs. And that is not the spirit of Christ. It is a satanic spirit. Some consult with mediums. And can I tell you, those who do mediums today have gone more scientific. You can be on the Facebook and then you could reach out to them. You could be on phone, you could reach out to them. And sometimes you're scrolling, you see their adverts coming. And the advertisement just speaks to you. And do you know the interesting part? Because there's always a backside to many of all these devices or whatever we use. Then somebody says, oh, hello. You are a great Leo. This week is a game changer for you. You are going to win big. And you truly check where your birthday falls and you are a Leo. And you say, wow, this is prophetic. It's satanic. And sometimes we also have people who are in the church today who use such spirits, such familiar spirits, and they can tell you certain things. It sounds revelatory, but then essentially it's not of God. In my little life growing up in Nigeria, and then also in Ghana and some part, you see people who have entered into occultic practices. They seem to look like ministers, but actually they are occultic people, so they can see, they can fortune tell for you. And you say, wow. They said, it's like, you're having an issue with your daughter? Yes, man of God. It's like that thing has been for some, like 4 years now. Ha! Yes, we have the original. The Spirit of God does reveal secrets. God can unveil things. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of revelation. Yes, it does. But we also have the fake. And in this case, Paul and Silas met with a fake person. What she said, look at this. They were preaching, and look at what she said. These are men of God. They are speaking the truth. Listen to them. Wow. If I was Paul, or you were Silas, and we were there, and somebody said that, you would say she's correct. Is that not so? You say she's correct. Was she lying? She wasn't lying, but she was speaking by a lying spirit. What she was saying was correct, but she was speaking from the wrong spirit. But you know what that was going to do? She was going to use that to get endorsement indirectly to authenticate and give authenticity to her business. If Paul and Silas did not sense that she was speaking by a foul spirit, they would have said, oh, right on, sister, that's great. Which is easy for us to do today, because many a times we are not sensitive to know the difference between what is godly and what is satanic. Because now they come in very good packages. And the packages look very nice and godly. But they knew, they had discernment of spirit. Can I pray for us, especially those of us who are fathers? I ask that God gives us that gift of discernment in the name of Jesus. For every one of us, when you have the gift of discernment, it doesn't matter what is being said, you are able to know by what spirit it is being said. She was saying the right thing, it sounded nice, it looked right, but the spirit was wrong. And so Paul said, you foul spirit, leave her alone. When she was endorsing them, the Bible said everywhere they walked, she was going with them. Listen to them. These are men of God. Listen to them. These are men of God. Everyone who knew her and her fortune telling business would have said, wow. So she now moves and rolls with Paul and Silas. She must really be a Christian. I hope you know that's how they are going to think. And then next time, if she's prophesying to them, not prophesying. When she's prophesying to them, someone will feel that, oh, I saw her with Paul. I saw her with Silas. These must be godly. And so Paul and Silas, Paul had to rebuke, because he understood if he was silent, that meant approval for what the woman was doing. That meant more money and more business for her owner. Two, he recognized that she herself was under bondage. She was not just a slave, they were also making money off her. So she was a physical slave, and then she was a spiritual slave at the same time. She was under a demonic possession that had chained her life, and she also had masters that chained her and profited from her. So on two sides, she suffered. And Paul's assignment as a father, as a minister, was the fact that she, as a child of God, needed to be free. I don't know if you know this song. I'm sure you must have heard it. I think I've sung it here before. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with your melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I am a child of God. Can I digress a bit? If you're there and you feel one way or the other that you may be under any form of enslavement to the devil, the power of Jesus is still able to save. He said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And the Bible says that the name, the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee what? Bows. And every tongue does what? Confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Bible tells us at midnight, these men were arrested the moment that they delivered that girl. They were not arrested because they were criminals. They were not arrested because they did things that were wrong. They were responsible people, godly people, ministers of God, but they were arrested for doing what is right. And that's exactly the state we are in some areas in North America today. Sometimes people have to sound politically correct. Sometimes you have to be diplomatic. Because we are now in a secular society that sometimes the truth of God's word is hard to say. Sometimes it runs you into trouble because you are going against what is acceptable or sometimes even legalized. Can I say purely and directly, as far as God's word is concerned, the fact that something is legalized doesn't make it godly. The fact that something is a popular opinion doesn't make it sacred. I hope you understand that. So they had legalized this kind of business. Enslaved girl, taken advantage of. Also, she was under the bondage of the legal dimensions of the devil that held her bound. And that seemed okay. People could pay for her to do her fortune telling for them. It was okay. It was not illegal. But the moment Paul and Silas came and they ministered to that girl and delivered her and set her free from the bondage of hell, the Bible says the moment the masters discovered the spirit had left her, she could no longer see from the eyes of evil, from the satanic and demonic spirit. So now their business is shut down. And what did they do in return? They pounced on Paul and Silas, seized them up, made sure they were arrested, and brought them before the magistrate. These men are bringing up things that are against our Roman culture. They are speaking things that are not acceptable. What did they speak that was not acceptable? That in the name of Jesus be free. What did they do that was unacceptable? That fortune telling and such familiar spirit could no longer operate where they are. That was their error. It was legal, but it wasn't godly. As we celebrate Father's Day, fathers who are godly fathers must learn to know the difference between what is legal and what is godly. Some things are legal and they are godly, but there are those that are legal and are ungodly. And Christian fathers need to learn to stand up and affirm things that are godly in line with God's word that will not change, even when there are popular opinions that goes the other way around. God is not democratic. He is theocratic. Which means when he gives an instruction, we don't put it to our vote and say, let's vote whether God is right or God is wrong. How many consensus have we gotten? Let's vote him out. You can't vote God out. When he says a thing, our assignment is to trust and obey. Godly fathers enforce by mercy and love what the word of God says. Because in him, the trueness and the genuineness and the authenticity of our fatherhood is established. The more we go away from who God is and embrace some of the secular and some of the satanic activities that are prevalent and that are legal and are supported in and around us, what happens is this. We begin to lose our identity in God as fathers. And what happens is that we produce a society of young men who don't even know who they are. We produce a society that is weak. We produce a society that is anti-Christ and anti-God. We produce a society that will become more depressive and that would actually fail. Why? Because by strength we will not prevail. We can only prevail by God's Spirit. And to prevail by God's Spirit, it means we must live in line with His will and His word. So they lock them up not for being thieves, not for being criminals, not for causing violence negatively, but for standing to declare God's word and be bold enough to use the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver somebody who was oppressed of the devil. Someone who was taking advantage of, someone who was exploited. So can I say, those who are fathers, as we celebrate Father's Day, you are to see to it that around you, any form of exploitation of people do not take place. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. The Word of God has been given to you and I, so that when we see exploitation, any form of oppression and injustice, we stand and say, no, it should not be so. When fathers are silent and exploitations are taking place, then trouble is just looming. It's just waiting to explode. It's like a time bomb. When fathers cannot say the truth, we're also in trouble. When even the truth is very scarce. Have you noticed in our society today that truth is becoming very scarce? When you ask certain questions, I watch some of the interviews they do online. They ask certain questions, people are quick to jump and answer. Then you ask some, oh, I don't want to comment on that. Oh, you are a Christian. What can you say about this? Oh, no, no, no. Please, I'll pass. As a father, what would you say about this? Oh, let people just do as they like. Everybody's free. You can live your sleeve anyhow. We're in a modern time. You can't begin. You see, the Bible is old. You don't need to be, you just need to be easy on people nowadays. We're preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus. It's the gospel of comfort. It's a secularized gospel. Gospel according to self. Gospel according to us. Gospel according to the majority. The kind of gospel that will help us, that will keep fathers in their places, that will help fathers to keep being the hardworking fathers they are, loving fathers, and that will keep homes together. That will raise young men and young women that would be matured and balanced for the next generation. We need godly fathers. These men saw it was inappropriate for the girl to be in bondage. They saw it was inappropriate for evil spirit to continue to walk through her. And then they utilized the gifting of the Holy Spirit in their lives and send that evil packing. There are a lot of evil we need to send packing. In North America, in Canada. And we must be ready to pray. Because what did they do there? They prayed for her. And exited. I'm trying to get that grammar properly. And they cast out that spirit from her. Get up. In July, we're going to be praying. All through July, we're joining the Canadian Bible Society. And we are praying for Canada every day. How many of us will be glad to do that? I need all the fathers to do that. We need prayer more than ever before. We need what? Prayer. And we better start doing that. We need to just put it in. We need to do that exercise. If you look on the other side of our river here, you understand? The other side of our river, you understand? And sometimes some of you don't like, but then the reality is this. If we have the kind of what is going on there, which I'm beginning to see around us here, with some people with some flags doing some funny things, and you leave it to go, and you're not praying, it's a spirit. And when you see evil spirit, men stand. They stand in prayer, and they stand their ground. We stand for the truth. And we learn to say, Jesus reigns here. Jesus is in charge here. Jesus is in control here. And we go out being a living example of him to our world. So they got locked up, not being criminals, but for sharing the gospel and for showing the power of the gospel. Paul speaking later, I said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. So they locked them up, and at midnight, the Bible said, Paul and Silas began to sing. They began to praise God. How can that be? At midnight, when everything seemed hopeless and helpless, when they should be feeling, oh God, but we preached, we went out, preached your gospel, we used your power and delivered that young lady. Why should we be in prison? They will spend more time complaining, being bitter. Are you there, men? Are you there as a Christian and you have been faced online here? And because of the right thing for standing for God's word, have you been treated, maltreated in a way that you don't like? Have you been restricted? They put them in prison. Criminals were on the street. These were godly men. And they locked them up. You get to some places, you preach some things, you're in trouble. You teach some things in the school, you are in trouble. But every other thing could be accepted. All the nonsense could come in. They are okay. At midnight, in the midst of hopelessness and helplessness, in the midst of how it seemed as if God had forsaken them for doing what is right, they didn't lose their faith. And I came to encourage somebody here. I don't know what you're going through. Is it a health challenge? Is it a pain? Is it a relationship issue? Is it financial stuff? Is it a spiritual, you know, trial that you're going through? But listen to me. Whatever it is, God is on your side. You are a prayer away from your deliverance. You are a praise away from your deliverance. How long you need to pray or praise, I don't know. But one of the things I know is that in the midst of our prayer, in the midst of our praise, God does show up. He may show up very early for some people. He may show up in the mid of it, in the midnight. He may show up for somebody later in the afternoon, but he does show up at the right time. He is never late. He is always on time. The Bible said they pray and praise. They sang hymns and the prison shook. And their chains were broken. Whether it's physical chain, spiritual chain, when we learn to pray and when we learn to sing, I love hymns. They're powerful. And as Baptists, we utilize them. And I ask, please, if you don't have hymns at home, get one. There are times your faith is down and you don't know what to pray. You pick up the hymns that speaks to your situation. Sing them and see what God will do, because they are doctrinally, you know, enriching, and as well, they are spiritually and soul helpful to your body and soul and spirit. Use them. You can get the e-copies nowadays. It's easier, you know, just go on your phone and they're there. You can't sing. You tell yourself, oh, I don't have a good voice. I'm not sure if Paul and Silas had good voice. But no matter the voice, God heard them anyway. So if your voice, no matter how crooked your voice seemed to be, please use it. God wants to hear your sound. Amen. So that's not a reason why you shouldn't sing. That's not a reason. And if you think it's so bad that you don't even want to hear yourself, then play the song and listen to it. Let somebody sing to you. Is that okay? By every means, make up your mind. Whatever I'm going through, I can pray and I can sing to God about it. When you do that, the very foundations of such situations does shake, because God steps into your case. There is power in the name of Jesus. How many of us know that? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chains, break every chains, break every chain. I see his anointing falling now. I see his anointing coming down, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. The Bible says they suddenly got free and were stepping out of the place. They didn't go away, they didn't run. The jailer felt the earthquake. The jailer felt something was happening. The music of Paul and Silas didn't just affect them. All the other prisoners became free. Do you know there's a time you get into your praise break and your prayer break, and then something happened, not just to you alone. God sets you free, blesses your life, empowers you, and it affects people around you. Your sons, your daughter, your relative, people connected to you. Something about your own victory has a way, a ripple effect, that is positive to the glory of God upon their life, because your freedom is a testimony and a prophecy that God can do same in their lives. The jailer came and said, he was afraid. He thought they had gone. Paul said, no. We are not thieves. We are not criminals. We're not going anywhere. We're here. And because of that act, the fact that God broke the chains and set them free, as well as others, and they were there, they didn't go. The man said, what must I do to be saved? Because that was awesome. He had never seen someone in prison. He's been a jailer. I mean, a jailer for years. And here, The prison is broken. There was no prison break. Nobody went anywhere. He said, I need to know. And then when they told him, he said, I and my house will serve the Lord. Himself and his family gave their life to Christ, which was the ultimate turnaround. I came to speak to fathers today. There's power that God has put in your life to stand against injustice, to stand against every exploitation, to see that by the power of the Holy Spirit, people are set free. Everyone in your household deserves the authority and the power that comes in the name of Jesus through your life. You are God's agent to minister salvation to people. And as we take up all this, we will see more in our lands. We will see his glory in our families and in our community. So I can say to you, Happy Father's Day. Get ready for a supernatural turnaround in all our lives and in all our situation. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for every one of us who are going through one thing or the other, his power is still alive. And he still does miracles. Can we bow down our heads this morning? Father, thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Thank you for every father, every man out there. Lord, help us to stand to represent you well. Help us to let our generation know of who you are. Help us to be agents of peace. Help us to carry your legacy of faith. Help us to speak of your salvation and of the power of the Holy Spirit that is still at work. Help us to be discerning. Help us to go against every injustice, oppression, enslavement. Help us, oh God, to walk in such a way that our lives are blessings to others. Help us to be witnesses of your good news and of your power to our generation, to our family, to our wives, to our children, to our sons and daughters, and to our community and to your church. Help fathers, oh God, not to disappoint you, to be living examples. And is there anyone going through one oppression, one challenge, one imprisonment, one restriction, or where things seem hopeless and helpless? As we take on the discipline of prayer and of praise, as we take on those spiritual disciplines in our lives, as fathers, as brothers, as sisters, as men, as women, Lord, as youths, as old, may we experience your supernatural turnaround. May our lives flow onto blessings for others. These are prayer today, and these are heart desire. Thank you, Father, because we know you do much more. In Jesus' name, amen.